My study of God has nothing to do with any religion. I read the Bible before I ever went to church. So I came to a conclusion from what I'd read of what I believed the Bible to tell us. People have come up with many versions of Christianity or religions, and it's often said that the devil divides. So if a husband and wife are in peace and have a lovely life, Satan will find a way to split them up, kind of like Adam and Eve. And so Satan makes it, he divides and breaks everything up that God can use to make the world a better place. So Satan takes whatever God is going to use to make the world heaven again, heaven on earth, and he will do everything he can to destroy it. They say the world is run by the Prince of Darkness at the moment, and that is because we've been brought up in materialism, and we all are taught to side with satanic living, believe that satanic living is normal, believe that satanic immoral indecency and the like, hatred, killing, violence are natural and the way we should be living, and chasing the carrot, which is money, and desiring it, etc., etc., etc. The kingdom is, Jesus was saying that the kingdom is here. It's here now, and the promised land, you could call it. It's got different names. The kingdom is here because it's a way of life. The kingdom is not a specific kingdom. It's any place, anywhere in the world. Holiness is living that kingdom. The churches have made holiness out of reach. They've made Jesus out of reach by pretending he's a god and pretending he was martyred and pretending that he didn't marry Mary. Jesus had to marry Mary so that Mary and Jesus, after their very hard lives, could teach people how to fall in love, how to forgive each other, how to repent completely and change and be different people. Born again. Being born again means it's a change of lifestyle, a cleansing of the evil from within you. The evil and satanic living that is within you is taught by society. So society for the last 60 years has taught people how to, or 100 years, 150 years, taught people how to become materialist and believe in commercialism, chase money, and work the way society has told us to live, work, and behave. And it's immoral and decent and all that, and all that's been accepted. Being born again is when you find God, you pray to God, and then God takes you and teaches you through many methods that you need. It's different for every single person, to find out the difference between good and bad, good and evil, and then in the end make your final choice of which one you want. If you chose evil, you'd just carry on living the life you lived, and you wouldn't have God's protection or help, and you'd end up being, if you're going to get a disease in the future, you'd get it. You wouldn't have God's protection and help. So being born again is a complete cleansing of your soul, your character. So while you're a materialistic person, you could be apathetic, mean, cruel, and nasty. When you're born again, you actually, you know, all things become new. Within you, you are a completely different person. A person could meet you and say, and who'd known you all your life and say, you can't be you, because you look like you, but you're totally different. And that's what born again is. It's a cleansing of all you were taught, all the bad treatment people gave to you. So you hated blacks as a materialistic person. It was because someone beat you badly or killed someone in your family who was of dark skin, so you decided you didn't like dark skin people. when you're born again, that gets cleansed out of you. And you, dark people as good brothers and sisters as any other race. That's what being born again is. In order to cure the world of its ills, God had to take a male and a female, put them through living hell on earth until they completely changed their character from what they were taught, a lot like being born again, as they grew up. And they had to learn about being victims, being mistreated in their own ways, he and she, so that in the end, they would know how other people felt in those situations, in those kind of suffering, and they would be able to empathize and help other people in the future by saying, hey, look, I've been there, I did that, I enjoyed hurting people, I enjoyed doing the moral acts, but now I've changed, I'm a different person, and I want to help you change from being that person to becoming a good person. It's like a lot of the people I've met, there was this character assassination on me. I'm stunned at the amount of young people who joyfully and willfully want to hurt me or hurt their victims, or to lie to them and trick them and mislead them, and it's quite shocking. And I didn't, you know, think people could be like that. So it's been quite an eye-opener. And so those kind of people would be cleansed out. They would, but this cleansing thing that people have, it's only voluntarily. If you don't want to do it, it doesn't happen. So anyway, with Jesus and Mary, they went through hell, and Jesus was not God. The church rose Jesus to unreachable goals because of Jesus. If you became as courageous as Jesus, we went through the same things that Jesus did, and you understood life as Jesus did, then in the end, you would have so much courage, you wouldn't need the church. So you would walk out of the church and you wouldn't pay a tithe to the church anymore. The church needs the people to believe in fallacies and myths so that they will continue running it like a business, giving the money and remaining submissive, weak-minded and easily controlled by the church. And the people in the church, a lot of people in the church don't even know they're doing this, that they're controlling the congregation. They really think the system they're living in is real. So the job of Jesus was, and when times become very materialistic as they are now, God takes a man and a female who agreed to do this before they were born, and he puts them through the hell they agreed to go through, and then when they meet, have huge amounts of objections to coming together. They don't want to come together for all the prejudices that society gives people. And so he doesn't want her, and she doesn't want him. And the object, God's work, is to let Satan put them through hell. And remember Job? And then in the end, they all things become new, and when they come together, they then can go out and teach the world. And she can say, well, this is the reason I didn't like him. He was too fat or too ugly. And or he didn't reach my, wasn't good for my station in life. Because I was looking at materialistic things. And God was saying, do not look at the what he said about David. Look into his heart. And so she would have to have learned how to look into his heart and understand that his heart is exactly the same as her heart. She'd come to a stage in life where all the bad, evil, immoral things she did, and the same with him, were gone. And then they became, then they realized that each other was, after years of everyone, including family, trying to keep them apart, they finally came to the conclusion that God wanted them together in order to help the world and to make the world a better place. And for years and years, Jesus was hunted down, character assassinated, abused in the streets, threatened, etc., etc., etc. And the reason he said turn the other cheek was because no one could harm him. They could, if he went out and stood in front of a train, he probably could have got run over and died, but you're not supposed to test God. You're supposed to carry on. God gives you a job and God takes you through this and this and this and this. And the reason you know that the path that God has for you is because unnatural things happen. Things that science dictates, you do this, you do this, you do this, physics. And everyone who knows anything about spirituality knows that physics means nothing. Science means nothing. You can escape the most incredible situations. And, So the prophet is needed when the times get really, really bad, and the prophetess, and they're needed to bring the world back to God and together. And that's what they do. No one is denied by God. It's not really a condition to be protected by God. It's more like God can't do evil, and God, if you were to want God to be by your side or to help you through your life or to guide you or to show you the way, you need to be like God. You need to be moral. You need to be decent. You need to be not take from the satanic talk. Not use revenge. Not use hate. And your work is to live life as a good, decent soul, and then bring up children as good, decent souls. They say that children are really God's children, and we have been given the great honor to bring up those children to be like God, and then they will leave home and marry for life, and they'll be great, worthy, courageous citizens in the community, and they will honour the lands which was given to them by God, and they will honour animals which were given to us by God. And it's all about love and respect. The difference between satanic and good is, well, I think it's really probably satanic and holy, is that satanic is anything materialistic that's destructive to people, the lands, to the environment, to the air, to the planet, to animals, and anything that's cruel. You see a lot of people in your life who will do cruel things, and you'll say, that's not nice, and they'll try to justify it. Oh, there's a reason why I had to do this. That's satanicism. That's been satanic. Because they've always got an excuse and a reason for doing evil things in their own mind, yet other people could never do them. One of the reasons I haven't slept with a woman for 21 years is because all the women I knew prior to that, regardless of what they said to my face, would have had abortions. And I don't want to sleep with a woman, get her pregnant so she can kill it, the baby. Well, it's just, so I don't want to do that. That's why I've never done one night stands, and that's why I never would do a one night stand. Sex has a responsibility. You only have sex with the person you know, you trust, you totally and completely believe in, and you know that they'll be faithful. So you only have sex with a person who has the same beliefs and absolute feelings you have. Like, I would only have sex with someone who I loved, was married to, and in God's way, and who I knew would not have an abortion. I don't want anything to do with creating a baby and then killing it. So that I'm more than happy to go without sex to do that, or to go without having a woman in my life. It's no problem whatsoever. Oh, about the countries, this has been going through my head for quite a few months now. You know how this country, and it's been overrun by a dictator, and the people are getting, you know, not like Hitler went out to other countries, but then they're only killing people in their own country. It reminded me of my ex-wife and my daughter asked and said, why does God give us money? And I said, because your mother keeps spending it. It's like pouring water in a bucket with holes in it. If God gave us money, it would be used for evil purposes, like for her vanity and stuff. But it wouldn't, and it would just, she would just go and spend it and spend it and spend it. And so I said, we've asked God to help us to change our lives and to make us better people. So God wouldn't do that sort of thing. It would be a bad thing to give us more money. And in countries where they're, when my wife was in our house and she was narcissistic, it was my job to break that up, to stop it. When you're in a country where a dictator is ruling the people or a bad government, it's not America's job to go in there and free them. It's not New Zealanders or Australians or England's or the another world organisation to go in there and save them. It's actually the people's job. So if the people, like, you'll find probably maybe 5% or even less our Army, Navy, Armed Forces in many of these countries. And the rest are just people. Yet the rest, even though they heavily outnumber the Armed Forces and government, etc., they still let themselves stay overtaken. And every now and then you'll find a country where they do get the people rise up and they free themselves. If you live in a house, it's like women who are captives. It's like the girl we saw at Tainui Dairy. I was at Tainui Dairy and this guy got out in the, our car. This woman got out of the car and he was abusing her, yelling at her, telling her he was going to smack her over and all this sort of stuff. And me and this other guy, we went up and leaned against, he was across on the other side of the car. And we both looked at each other and nodded heads, and then we both leaned against the power poles. I think he leaned against rubbish, but I leaned against a pole. And we just watched him, the guy in the car. And the guy in the car realised he was going to get a hiding. So he shut up quickly. The woman went and got out of the car, looked at us, and then we smiled and were very nice to her. And we were offering her a way out. She went and got herself and then came out. And then she looked at us and then she looked at the guy. And he said something abusive, and then we turned around and glared at him until we made it clear to her that the guy would be scared of us. And for him to, if she wanted, she could come with us and not get in the car with him and be abused. But she got in the car with him and they drove off with him yelling at her. This is the thing that happens when the police go to a house where a woman's in domestic violence with a narcissist or a very clever bad person. And they take her away, she just goes back. And it's the same thing as living in a country where all the people are allowing one person, one dictator, to destroy them, kill family members, rape and pillage, and etc. And the people do nothing. And it's the same as the woman in the house who's got children, and the man abuses her and rapes the children, and she does nothing about it. I remember my ex was at Wynn. She told me of a case where a guy went in there and the children had bruises all over them. And they got the wife aside and they tried to get the wife to tell them that the husband had bruised the kids, but she refused to. So she was an enabler. She was allowing it to happen. And she wouldn't do anything to stop it. And if they got her a written statement, they would have taken the kids off him. But instead, she backed him up fully and supported him fully and left with the kids with whatever she was there for. So, you know, it's actually us, ourselves, that are supposed to free ourselves. And that's part of being born again. You're not going to be born again if you don't have the courage to stand up and free yourself from any domestic or bad situation you know you're in. If you don't do anything about it, you're never going to be free, and you're always going to be under someone's thumb, controlled and abused. And what you're supposed to know is and realise is that this is not what you want, and you have to find a way to stop that and free yourself and have the courage to do it. And that, I would say, for many people who'd gone to God and spent years with God teaching them, in the end, I would say there's a very high chance something like that would be the last step to being fully in God's favour. Because God needs to know you have total, complete faith in God. You have total, complete faith in God's plan for your life. And you have the courage to go against everybody in your life who's doing you wrong. And you also have to be totally responsible and publicly able to admit your past and fix it up. With Sodom, Gomorrah, Pompeii, and their sister city, the places and all the empires that have ever been, every single one of them became very immoral, very indecent, very bad, and every single one of them had to be pulled apart. In the case of Sodom, Gomorrah, and Pompeii, and her sister city, they were destroyed completely because they'd got to a stage where you couldn't fix them anymore. And with Jonah, he would had to go into the city and tell them, repent now or all hell's going to break loose. And all of a sudden, the people repented because their conscience finally got to them and they realized how evil they were becoming. So God's job is looking at the world today, seeing how many, like in New Zealand, child sex abuse is horrendous. And they'd only lightly touching the amount who are actually doing it. And it's gotten to the stage that the grooming is so successful that the groomers have convinced children to grow up into adults who fully support and back up being pedophiles. So it's, and as long as that's allowed to continue, it's, well, the world's going to turn out like Sodom and Gomorrah. So you might be one of the victims saying, look, I can't stand up and do anything about this. I'm too scared. Well, if you don't stand up and do anything about it, it's God is going to be forced to do what he did to Pompeii. Destroy the whole place. Now, do you want to be responsible for, say, if you're in Tokara, the whole of Tokara getting wiped out, the South Waikato, the Waikato? Just because you were given a chance by God at some stage to stand up for the children of the future and you didn't do it. So it's all about doing the right thing and doing your best to stop God from having to deal with people in such a way. And then asking yourself, if you don't do it, are you in God's favour? Now, God doesn't want to wipe out, say, Hamilton. But if you know something that's infesting the place like Hamilton really bad and you don't do anything about it, how do you think God's going to feel about you? Is he going to love you and adore you and want to protect you and help you? Or are you more like some kind of rat or vermin or flea who's blood-sucking off people, even though you tell yourself you're not, and you're allowing evil to continue to exist? It's about conscience and trying to understand what is really right and what is really wrong and what you should be doing, and don't put God in positions that God does not want to be in.